It's the Who's On First Baseball Show with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson.
The fellow's name on first base.
Who?
The guy on first base.
Who is on first?
Talking all things baseball on the Coach's Corner Sports Network.
I'm not asking you who's on second.
Who's on first?
I don't know. Third base.
And here we are, the coach and the baseball fanatic.
And good evening, sports fans. Welcome back to the first episode for season number 6 of the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, yours truly, Carl DeMasi. And of course, without further ado, because I know he's been biting at the bit for almost a month to do this, but you know, he got married, he's got work, he's got called into work. So he's got a lot going on in his life, but always love doing this. 6 seasons with this young man. It's the coach and the baseball fanatic, Kyle Lawson. And he's on the Coach's Corner hot seat right now to talk some baseball, which has been very, very good to him. There we go, Kyle. How's it going?
Oh, it's going good, Coach. Long time no see. You look great. Hopefully you're healing up pretty good. We finally made this happen. We got to keep it going. 6 seasons. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it. When I was looking at all the promos and all the openers, that's what happened. It got a little late start because I forgot to upload the opener. So with everything else going on, I forgot to load the opener. But yeah, 6 seasons. I mean, really, really exciting. Back there, way back in 2017, you know, before COVID hit, and when we were on the Ray Didio, okay, you were doing your Lion's Den show and whatever shows you were
doing. Oh yeah, I was about to say, Coach. Yeah, a lot of local radio back on the old 4-letter network, and ESPN, of course, but
ESPN
yeah,
Savannah, which is no longer ESPN Savannah, so.
No, it isn't, and but that's a story for another day. But bottom line, we kept this thing going, and part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network, and I'm just excited to talk some ball. Had a lot of life. I know you had a major surgery, and you're back, and we're ready to go. We're only a month into the season. We got a lot to talk about.
And you had a major life change.
Sure did. Finally got married to my beautiful Angela. She loves her Dodgers, and even my wonderful pastor, you were there at the wedding, mentioned the Cubs in the wedding, and yeah, I know you were the only one that had a little bit of a reaction to it. I thought I heard a boo, go Dodgers. Did I hear that by chance?
Yeah, well, you know, Angela's a lot prettier than you, and she's good looking.
Last I checked.
You know, being a former Met fan, what's the team you hated the most? The Chicago Cubs.
Ooh.
I won't bring up 1969 to you and the little black cat, but I won't bring that
Shouldn't
up.
Have happened. Shouldn't have happened. And, you know, I mean, I was negative 13 years old, and I'm still mad about it.
Negative 13. And I was positive 10.
Well, congrats.
But anyway, yeah, we have a lot of fun doing this. And thank, of course, Coach's Corner, the Coach's Corner Sports Network, John and Adele Henderson for letting us do this now that we're back. Month off, I had major surgery, not once, but twice. He got married, and his job, he's a safety manager, and you get called in, you got to go. So we'll try to shift this back to Wednesday night. So we'll see what happens. But anyway, we play 4 innings. First inning, let's talk MLB baseball. Second inning, we live here. You know, I got to be honest with you people. I grew up a Met fan. They sold my favorite player. They did bring back my favorite player, my really favorite player before they sold my favorite player. That was Willie Mays. Okay. Growing up, I just idolized Willie Mays. And whenever I could watch the San Francisco Giants, because they had to move from New York and the Polo Grounds. So, Willie Mays and then Tom Seaver gets let go in 74. I went to the dark side. But since I've been here for 28 years, I know more about the Braves than I do the Yankees. And yes, I still follow the Yankees. And this young man can't get that, South Side out of his blood. Okay. He'll be a Cubby fan. North
That's
side.
North side. North side. How dare you, sir?
Sorry. I insulted him. I've never been to Chicago. I got to get to Chicago. I got
to, we'll
check
go to
out.
A game someday. We'll do it.
That is one thing on my bucket list. I got to go to, I've been to Yankee Stadium. I've been to Fenway Park. There's only one other stadium I got to get to, and that's Wrigley Field.
We'll make it happen.
So, all right. And then we'll go, I only found one player, but we're going to talk about in our third inning. We usually talk about local players. Where are they now? Okay. And then we talk a little about Savannah Bananas, which Savannah Bananas We could talk for hours what they're doing. And then, of course,
all over the place.
Trivia. Yeah. We're starting out 1-0. Last year, did I win or you win?
I still won, but it's the closest that it's ever been.
Yes.
It's the closest it's ever been. I have challenged you, and I got to say, you become almost a trivia savant, and you've stumped me many times, and you've gone into the weeds to do it. So I'm ready for you this year.
Going into the weeds tonight.
Okay, me too. This is what this is all about. Well, I would have started this a half hour ago, but I was still prepping my trivia. I thought it was too easy.
I'm going to go into the marsh because that's where I live, okay? So we'll go.
In the marsh.
All right, we're glad you could join us. It's part of the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Remember, there's four shows, two live shows every Wednesday night, 6 o'clock. We got Rubbin' and Grubbin' with Brandon Bain and the OG of the sport, Coach's Corner Sports Network, the mastermind behind this, Lawrence Bennett, the producer. Then yours truly every Saturday, usually live, but, you know, with a couple of glitches going on here with surgery and everything else. Saturday mornings, the Carl DeMoss Sport Report. Then once a year, during the Masters, we got the Herb Brothers with the 19th hole. They love it. They do a great job. Check it out on YouTube. 5 straight days of talking the Masters, buddy. That's pretty tough. Don't you think so?
Absolutely, but they're all about it. They planned for it the entire year. They did a great job. This year was a lot of fun.
And, of course, the only podcast now, who's on first base? The baseball
That's
podcast.
That's us.
With the coach, Paul DeMasi and Kyle Lawson. Okay, batter up, inning number one. Let's go around the horn. Now, before we break down the divisions like we usually do, I got to ask you this question, and I know you're probably prepared for it. What's the biggest surprise of the 2023 season for Kyle, the baseball fanatic, Lawson?
I would say as far, are we talking teams, are we talking rule changes, or just my thoughts?
Your thoughts, what's the biggest surprise?
The fact that teams, without a few exceptions here, and most players have really adapted well to the rule changes with the time clock, the being able to step off. You can only throw to a base twice before a disengagement, and you would get a ball called on you. Players are responding really well in the batter's box. You get 8 seconds. If you're not in there by 8 seconds to go in that pitch clock, you will get dinged for a ball. But with a few slip-ups here and there, it's gone incredibly well, and I think the average baseball fan is really enjoying it. Games are going exactly how they planned. They're around 2.5 hours each. It's action-packed. I love it. And for like I said, the diehards like us, we're always going to be there. But for the casual fan, I really think they're loving it. And I really think the ratings are going to bear out at the end of the year and show that.
And we had a game last week that beat the Bananas time limit. The Bananas have a 2-hour time limit. Didn't they play, was it a Pittsburgh game? They played in 1 hour and 57 minutes.
It was unbelievable. Yes, you are correct. Yeah, it was the first MLB game this season, and I can't remember how long since, that went 1 hour and 57 minutes, boom, boom, boom. And, I mean, it was done. I couldn't believe it. But you're almost sitting back after you watch your game, and especially if it's you want to watch a team on the West Coast, I might be able to sneak 1 hour of this game in. You know, this may not be too difficult for me to watch.
Well, I know when your Cubbies on the West Coast playing the Brides, Dodgers, you two probably sneak in a couple innings before you fall asleep.
On occasion, I will be honest, she gets kind of stressed out about it. And she does. She does. She gets stressed out watching the Dodgers. I love it. I get it. I get stressed out watching the Cubs. But you know me, I got to watch every game. It's what I do.
You got to do it. You got to do it. All right. Last question about the beginning of the season and the rule change is great. Do you think the bigger bases make a big difference?
I don't think it makes a huge difference. I think really the inability to go and check a runner whenever you want plays the bigger factor, but it is going to lead to some higher stolen base numbers. I think they're both kind of related. I really think the ability to throw to a base, the fact you've only got 2 shots at it per batter, I think that has a bigger effect. Eventually, you're going to forget about the bases. I don't know how you feel.
No, and you know what? The biggest surprise or the best thing I like besides the pitch clock is I know, being a manager, I should be able to do what I want to do, but making the players start where they have to start in on the dirt. I mean, how many top 10 players are we watching now from the infielders? Ozzie Smith coming back from the past. I mean, keeping them where they belong until, you know, they're ready to pitch. I mean, just exciting baseball.
And you've heard it from multiple players that have said, hey, the hits that have always been hits are hits again. Yeah. That's not a knock against anything, but it tells you what a lot of players think. They're on board.
All right. So that's what we think the biggest surprises of this year is. We'll get to the players when we talk about the teams. And once again, we always start in the AL East, okay? We always start in the AL East. And my beloved – now you think I'm going to say the New York Yankees, don't you?
Yeah, because why wouldn't you? That is your team. Let's not lie to the kids.
My team that will always be called the Devil Rays. Only 7 losses in 36 games. That is unheard of.
Yeah, historic start for the Rays. And the fact of the matter is, can you – I mean, yeah, call it what you want there, Coach. All I'm going to say – you're killing me here. So all I'm going to say is with the Rays, they got up to a great start. We always struggle to name, you know, the starting lineup of the Rays, you know, just because they're in a small market, but they find ways to win. You know, you got Wander Franco, Shane McClanahan, guys, you know, really – but they're a talented club. And easily the most, I mean, most difficult division in baseball, really it is. It's bearing up. Every team in this division has a record over 500. And the Yankees, after getting off to a tough start, they're still 2 games over 500.
Yeah, but where are they? They're the cellar dwellers right now.
Yeah, but I'll tell you this. I'll tell you this. The Rays are legit. Baltimore solid. I think Toronto might be as good, if not as good as the Rays. I think the Red Sox are punching above their weight right now at 21-14. A lot of baseball.
Everybody said the Red Sox were going to be the worst in the division. But, you know, like you said, best division in baseball. Every team in that division is over 500. All right. Now we're going to the AL Central, not the NL Central yet. But, you know, the Twinkies are in first place. The Minnesota Twins, Tigers, Guardians, White Sox, Royals, all under 500.
It continues to be an absolute garbage division. The Twins are really the only team right now that I have any faith in other than the Cleveland Guardians. I think it's a two-horse race. The White Sox, they waited too long. They made too many front office mistakes. That's an organization that's in shambles. And the Royals are in the midst of a full rebuild. They got the worst record, second worst record in the American League right now. Royals are going to royal right now. I really think when it's all said and done, it's going to come down to the Twinkies and the Cleveland Guardians. I mean, I don't see really any other challenger for that division. It's a bad division.
It's another one I'm going to go right at you. The Cleveland Indians, buddy. The Clevelandians. The Guardians is a friggin' statue on a bridge. Give me a break. It's the Indians. They were honoring the American Indian. They weren't making fun. Well, you know, Chief Wahoo, that was a cartoon character. That was really bad. You know what? This political correct stuff, they'll always be the Indians, okay? Off my horse. I got one question here to make it quick. Do you think the Royals are ever going to come back to being good?
Well, I mean, they had the great run in the last decade, and they won 2 pennants in a World Series. It's the problem you're going to have with a small market team. You're always going to have that issue. And, yeah, you got to rebuild for the draft. I see it's a long journey for them to get back to relevance.
All right, let's go out to the left coast. That's the West Coast. All right, where we don't watch many baseball games because at that time we're both sleeping. Okay, but the Texas Rangers in first place, followed by the Angels are going to finally wake up with all the talent they have, and everybody else in that division is under 500. The Mariners, I like the throwback Mariners uniform going way back when.
Oh, I love those.
And the Athletics, once again, worst team in baseball, 8-26, just like the Royals. And will they go to
worse?
Will they go?
Oh, it's a done deal. It's a done deal. They just announced earlier today there's going to be a publicly funded stadium that is going to break ground very soon in Las Vegas. It's really unfortunate to Oakland A's fans, and I was thinking about that earlier today. Go back and look at a picture of Oakland Stadium. Oakland Alameda Stadium back in 1968. Beautiful baseball park. And it was. They turned it into just a concrete mess. It's a hideous stadium. They got possums in the press box. It's a mess. That team stinks on ice. They're 8-26. And, I mean, it's just unfortunate. I mean, I feel so bad. They're 8-28, excuse me. There is no end in sight for that team. They're Vegas bound. I feel bad for the Oakland baseball fan. And it's unbelievable. But get back to the top of the division. You got two of the most talented players in baseball that are still languishing with the Angels. I don't think they're ever going to find a way out. Houston will figure it out. That's still a talented team. The question remains, do you think the Texas Rangers are for real?
I don't. I think they just off to a hot start.
They're off to a good start. They're playing good ball.
Just like the Tampa Bay Devil Rays, except for what's-his-face who's hurt, right? DeGrom's hurt already?
Yeah, DeGrom is hurt already. That's unfortunate. The guy's had a series of injuries. Of course, that's their big signing. He goes to Texas. I don't know if that's sustainable. I think the Astros are going to come back and take it the head of the division. I also don't really have a problem with Seattle. I mean, I think Seattle can still be a decent team. But again, we're still in May. And, I mean, you look at the teams at the top of a lot of these divisions, with a few exceptions, we're going to see a lot of changes here in the coming weeks.
All right, if you're just tuning in, you're watching, and then later on you can listen to the Who's on First Base baseball podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and, of course, the baseball fanatic who has a cranial vault of baseball knowledge, and I'll give him this too, and music, okay, right here on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Season number 6, episode number 1. I've had a little drawback. I was on the disabled list anymore, right? I got to say the injured list. Okay. I mean, this is crazy, Kyle. This is crazy. But anyway, and if
you were a little banged up and you're fine now, that's all that matters.
This young man went and got married and had a couple of incidents where he had to run into work. So we're finally doing our first show a month later. All right. So now we go on to the junior circuit or the senior circuit, sir?
Senior circuit, I do believe.
Yeah. Your favorite circuit. Okay. And let's start out in the West Coast. And, of course, Angela's very happy. They only got a half a game lead over the Diamondbacks. Okay, the Padres just got over 500. And, of course, the Giants and Rockies are pulling up their rear end. But the Dodgers, 21-15. The Diamondbacks, 20-15. There's a surprise for you. Because that's another team I couldn't name more than two players.
Yeah, Corbin Carroll, very talented. I mean, that's the first one that jumps to mind for me. They're a talented team. I don't know if they have the firepower. I still think, I mean, it goes without saying that San Diego and Los Angeles are going to be the class of this division. I don't think either one of those teams are as good as they were last season. Colorado's exactly where you would think they would be. When it comes down to it, you still may have two teams coming out of that division that may make the playoffs.
May make the playoffs.
Yeah, may. Want to know why? Because it's May, and we can't talk about playoffs. But right now, Dodgers are playing some decent ball. They lost one last night, but they're 8-2 over the last 10. They're doing what you expected them to do to start the year.
Okay, so we'll see what happens. Like we say, usually the old school, okay, baseball purists say July 4th is when everything matters. After July 4th, that's when we should start getting nervous. All right, here we go. The beloved Cubby fans home, the NL Central. But look at who's in first place. They also started out hot like the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. The Pittsburgh Buccaneers, I mean Pirates, okay? the Pittsburgh Bucks, so the Pittsburgh Pirates, 21-15. Yeah, I know, they lost 7 straight. They finally won one, but there's the surprise, the whole thing. And, of course, the Brewers have been the Brewers. They've always been, you know, playing around with first place. But and the Cubs, not bad, almost 500. And they got one of my favorite ball players who should have never left Atlanta, but that's for another story.
First off, he looks really good in pinstripes, and he looks really good with Nico Horner, and man, is he an absolute delight. But before I talk about Dansby a little bit, the Pirates, fun story. But they're starting to regress to the mean. As they say, they're 3-7 out of their last 10. I know they won one last night. Milwaukee, they're 5 games over, but they're really not blowing anybody away. Nope. And the Cardinals are off to a start, the worst start probably in 50 years.
Makes you happy.
And thrilled. I love it. They beat us last night, and that made me really mad, so I couldn't listen to the radio for most of the day. But that they are 2-8 out of their last 10. They are 12-24 right now. And the thing is, they've got a talented but old pitching staff. Nolan Arenado is hurt. They're banged up. And I don't know if it's just – but even if you look at predicted wins, you look kind of go a little bit into the, the deeper analytics of this, they would still be about 5 games under 500 despite the bad luck they've had. Cincinnati, you expected them to be bad. But really, I still think this is a winnable division because right now this division is bad. The Cubs have a chance to really do some work. They need to do better scoring runs in clutch situations right now. We have outstanding pitching. Really, I think it could come down to really Milwaukee and the Cubs unless the Cardinals absolutely figure their way out of this nightmare start. I don't know if that's going to happen, and I've never said that because that's a well-run organization.
Right. All right. Last but not least, we're back to the NL East where the Braves play. I mean, the Braves, second best record in baseball, 24-11. Second best in baseball.
Class of the National League. Easily.
And I know I said this to you, I texted while I was sitting in my chair because there was nothing for me to do. I said to you, here we go again, the bullpen. But Iglesias back. AJ Minta, man, he was driving me crazy every time he got in the game. But they're still 24-11.
And we got a whole segment for that, let me tell you. But I'll tell you this, the Mets, you can spend all that money. I can spend all the money you want. It's not going to necessarily lead to wins. Do I think they're as bad as they're playing right now? I do not. They're three out of their last 10. They've dropped a couple. The Braves have gone out and done it with their bats. We'll talk a little bit about this more in our next segment. What do you do about that bullpen? And we got some injuries with that starting rotation, but the Braves have gone out and done it. It seems like they find a new hero every night. They're getting some great starting pitching from their top three, and that's really carried them along. If they can just do that and carry it out, plus they had a well-deserved day off. They get going. They actually just got going a few minutes ago, taking on the Red Sox right now. When was the last time two players of the week played each other head-to-head? So the Braves right now are exactly where I thought they would be, and they're doing it in spite of some injuries and a lack of real continuity in that bullpen.
Now, didn't I just hear today Max Fried won't be back till June or July?
Yeah, this looks pretty rough. He goes to the IL. He got an MRI left forearm strain. That's going to be several weeks. So he's in the same club with Kyle Wright. And keep in mind, Max, he started the season on the IL with that, with a groin issue that he had all through spring training. So it's unfortunate for that with how important he is to that rotation.
All right. So before we get into that, the Braves, the NL East, Mets with all the money they spent in second place, seven games behind.
Rough start. Braves, rough start.
We got, if you want to make a comment, if you're watching live, because usually we record this, but we're going live because it's the first one, 6 years, first episode. Got our man from Rubbin' and Grubbin', Brandon Payne, sending us a comment. What's up, guys? We're back.
What's up, dude? Long time no see. All right. Let's go.
Baseball and music. This guy knows NASCAR and baseball. It's pretty impressive what this guy can tell you.
He knows about rubbing and grubbing. Let me tell you, he's always eating ribs and talking NASCAR, and I love it.
Yeah, he's rubbing the cars and grubbing the food. When we go there,
I'm going to ignore what he just said because that doesn't matter anymore. 2016, his pick, baby.
His pick right now, who he's liking? The Baltimore Orioles.
I like the Orioles a little bit. I mean, it's going to be such a dogfight coming out of that division. But you look at Adley Rutschman. You call up Gunnar Henderson. I don't know if they're too young, but they're a lot of fun to watch. And I like that's a classic team. I like that the Orioles are relevant again. I mean, they have just been in the tank for 10 years, and it makes me happy to see it. Great uniforms, too.
All right, well, like usual, first inning always takes us 23 minutes because we go around the horn and but now we'll get a little more in-depth because that's what people want to listen to or people want to hear about because we are from or we live in Savannah, Georgia. We talk about the NL East a little more, okay? You're watching what show?
Oh, you're watching the first episode of the season opener of the Who's on First Major League Baseball show sponsored by Coach's Corner. You kidding me?
Okay, and we're up to inning number two, and this is where we focus on the Braves, okay? And my first question to you, Mr. Baseball Fanatic, we went to the pitching. Give us a little update on how you think this pitching staff's going to make it through the season.
Okay, it's pretty tough right now. I mean, right now you're looking at top three starting pitchers right now. You got Spencer Strider, great mustache, rocking the number 99, loving that. Charlie Morton's going tonight. Bryce Elder, who's been absolutely fantastic to start the season. And Danny Young gets called up to fill in the spot right now. A little bit of pitching depth, left-hander from Gwinnett. And you got to ask yourself, who is going to be able to fill these starts? Because after you play Boston, you're going to go on the road for a six gamer. And there are several options you could call up. Mike Soroka may be ready to finally come back. He has had that devastating Achilles injury, and that guy's arm has been electric when healthy in his career. You're also to look at a guy like Dylan Dodd, who came up and spot started, did really well. And Jared Schuster, another member of that Stripers arsenal there, starting pitching-wise. But you're going to have to mix and match until you get guys like Kyle Wright and get in Max Fried healthy right now. Man, we got a gnat in this house right now. Won't leave me alone. That's my real concern. And yeah, I know you mentioned we got Raisel Iglesias. You got Raisel Iglesias back. He's picked up a save. You got Nick Anderson, Jesse Chavez. You got three guys that have picked up a save. Unfortunately, you've had to go to your eighth inning guy. You've had to go to AJ Minter. He's got seven saves. Each one of them scares the living heck out of you. And it's been a frustrating watch. Luckily, the bats have been there, and the bats are getting healthy.
What bothers me is Jesse Chavez shouldn't be where they're putting him in that eighth and ninth inning. I mean,
he had no choice.
Yeah, but you know, you got to find something other than Jesse Chavez. And you know, I mean, Dylan Lee, he's not been doing a bad job, but they had to do something. And I don't think they did anything when you know, Iglesias went down. I mean, they had to find a closer. And you know, it's just, you know, it's the bullpen every year for the Atlanta Braves until we find something during the, you know, the last free agency days. But
yeah, you make a move in the trade deadline.
Right.
You're counting on your big three that you have healthy. Now your big three, what you have when Strider, Morton, and Elder to carry you. And you're hoping your bats, you're hoping you can play bludgeon ball a little bit so it won't matter. You can throw a guy up and mop up. But that's not always going to be the case. It's a great thing that they've got a seven-game lead right now this early in the season. But there is going to come down to crunch time, especially when you get late in the season, where you're going to have to be able to find a guy that can get you the last three outs. That's the toughest job a pitcher has in baseball.
All right.
I don't know what the answer is. I really don't.
Let's get off the bump and let's go to the dish. The normal culprits are at it again. Albies, Acuna, and you know, you're throwing in now Murphy and you know,
Michael Harris. Michael Harris.
Harris is back. Darnold's back.
What about Eddie Rosario? You're getting production up and down that lineup, and I absolutely love it. And it's great because now you can give Sean Murphy a day off. He's your current player of the week in the National League right now. He's absolutely been crushing it, calling a great game behind the plate as well. Travis Darnot's back. Orlando Arcia is back. So, of course, Vaughn Grissom goes down. And I wasn't sure if he was going to be ready to start the season. He's going to need some more seasoning down in Gwinnett. Thank goodness that's a quick car ride, but that's not the point. Eddie Rosario in the last 12 games, his on-base plus slugging is over 1,000 right now. 1.30 last 12 games. And he continues to do it out there. And the usual suspects, Acuna, Harris, Olson, Murphy, and Ozzie Albies. Absolutely love it. And they got a two-game set with Boston getting rolling tonight. Then they get a day off. And they get a big six-gamer coming up right now. But there's a lot more positive to look at for a team that's banged up as they are. They still have the best record in the National League with an unbalanced schedule facing a big road trip here. But they got to get past the Boston Red Sox getting going tonight.
You got that right. So we're pretty excited about the Braves. TV timeout here.
What you got to do. It's live radio. It's what we do.
Well, if I don't plug this in, we're gonna go off air. So hold on.
I hear you. I keep having to tap my phone. I'm on my phone tonight because it works a little bit better. So let me have a sip of my water here. We'll be good to go.
Okay. Make sure I get this plugged in so we have some juice. I've done some shows where I forgot my power cord and.
We all have. Trust me.
Got cut off.
It's like, what happened? I don't know. It died. That's okay. But bottom line, the Braves are rolling right now. Let's hope they get the dub tonight.
Yep, you got that right. So the Braves, you know, best record in the NL. They're outplaying the team that Mr. Cohen couldn't buy. I didn't say that. Mr. Cohen thought he could buy, so it's going to be pretty.
You said it, and that's fine because you know my thoughts on the Mets. Good day, sir.
All right, so that's inning number two in the books. Hey, we got another comment coming up here. Let's see.
What do we got here? Bain giving us a hard time again? Come on.
The producer.
Hey, the man himself, Lawrence Bennett. How you doing?
the OG, the old guy, the OG of the old guy. That's who started this all back in way back when, and he let me coin
the man behind the curtain.
He let me coin
the great and powerful.
The Coach Score Sports Network. So that's inning number two in the books. Braves in first place. All right. Inning number three. Well, sorry, got to plug the sponsor. You're watching the Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast, all sponsored by The Place, the number one sports bar, the number one sports restaurant. Hey, it's not just all sports, all music, all fun, because it's been that way since when?
1991, last I checked.
And, you know, I'm glad they let us do this. It's a lot of fun. So, once again, John Henderson, Lawrence Bennett, love you, brother. Thanks for tuning in and watching what we're doing. I know he loves us. He loves our banter, which is pretty special. So let me I'm pressing buttons here because I also am the producer. He's home taking it easy in the backstage. So, all right. So inning number three, we usually try to get local guys who have been playing. And it's been tough to find because Josh Reddick retired. Ryan Lawler, I couldn't find anything on. Dom DeMasi retired.
Ryan Tyler. Yeah.
Tyler Batchelor
hung it up.
So now we got one guy playing over there in Japan.
Yeah.
Let me see if I get this right. The Yokohama. Dene Bay Stars?
Yeah, that's the name of the company. Most teams in the Nippon Professional Baseball League are named after corporations.
Right.
So the Yokohama Bay Stars, as they're commonly known, they are in the Central League in Japan right now. And you got 30-year-old J.B. Wendelken, formerly of the Oakland A's and Arizona Diamondbacks, still plying his trade over there. Not too bad so far through nine games.
Nope. And who just joined that team, too?
I was hoping we wouldn't bring that up. But persona non grata in a lot of circles.
Just
Trevor
so you
Bauer.
Know, it's been in the news. It's been in the news all week, all month. Trevor Bauer's over there playing and – they didn't know how the Japanese league would, the Nippon league would take him. But I got to be honest with you, you know, I don't agree with what the man has done, but they're loving him over there in Japan.
Well, it's been very mixed reviews. The guy's a weirdo. I'm sorry. I could really dig into that. Talented pitcher, but nobody likes you, sir. Okay, stay over there, keep pitching, and be good to the fans that go out there and support you. But, yeah, if I run a club, I don't want him. Yeah, this is the guy
back.
I want. I want J.B. Wendelken right here.
Let's go back.
He's
a boy from South Effingham High School. Nine innings pitched, 10 strikeouts. I think only one walk, has an ERA of 2.00. So, you know, he's, you know, if you, anything about baseball.
Doing well.
Okay, he's come in and he's held the lead for four times, so he's making a good name for himself. I still think he belongs back in MLB, but for some reason, he just never got a break.
Well, I got to say, and I mean, the Japanese professional leagues, the Nippon Professional Baseball League, is the second best baseball league in the world without compare. It's an unbelievably great league. The culture over there is incredible. The fans go absolutely nuts. JB's gone over there. No record right now. And he actually pitched for their second team that's, I guess we would consider the minor leagues of Japanese baseball. He actually picked up a save over there and trying to get ramped up to pitch in the Central League. No record right now, but like you said, 2.0 ERA, 10 Ks, only one walk. And he's gone in there and done the job right now in the eighth inning. And I think they could be ramping him up to close, which really could help him. 30-year-old guy that's got a good mix of pitches. Pitching over there will get you some looks to get back into the major leagues.
All right. So that's the only – and if you have a player that you know is playing somewhere, minor league baseball, the Mexican league.
Let us know.
Out there in Australia, down under, let us know. And we'd love to plug him. We'd love to talk about him. And I'm going to give a plug right now. I don't know if you follow college baseball. But this kid out of this is a good segue to the bananas. Out of Richmond Hill High School is playing for Georgia Tech, Jackson Finley. Just so you know, buddy, he has 17 home runs, and he's one of the best pitchers on their staff. So remember
yes,
that
name, I know the name.
Jackson Finley. He also played for the Savannah Bananas. His brother plays up for the Georgia Bulldogs. So that must have been some series when they faced each other. So
both
Finley boys doing a great job in the ACC and the SEC. Okay, now they're taking everybody by storm. They're barnstorming across the United States, but the Savannah Bananas have sold out every place they've went. They had 11,000 out there in Kansas City. I mean, they're packing it all over the place. But you know what I like about this? Everybody says it's like the Harlem Globetrotters. It's not like the Harlem Globetrotters because the party animals, when they play the Savannah Bananas, are 13-9. The Bananas are 9-13 in challenges like the Kansas City Monarchs, the Major League Baseball Players Alumni Association. I don't know if there was another challenge team that they took on, but they're like 3-3 in baseball challenges. So,
Charleston Dirty Birds. Yes.
Charleston Dirty Birds. So these teams are challenging them and they're picking up banana balls just as like the Bananas are.
Yeah. I got to say it's been a lot of fun and I was really interested to say, hey, this is our first year where the Bananas are really getting after it and they're going to travel across the country. They're going to play in all these great cities. They played an awesome one down in Tampa, George Steinbrenner Field. That was a lot of fun. They're taking on, you know, the MLB Players Association, you know, like an all-star team, you know, former guys like that. Lou Piniella was hanging out. Our man, our guy, Biko Scala, got to talk to him. And the thing is, the teams are picking it up. They had their challenge with the Kansas City Monarchs. They're playing not affiliated, but full-time professional baseball teams that are playing a full schedule, guys that have either played affiliated baseball or trying to get back into it. And they're playing banana ball. And the thing is, the quality of play out there is still really good. And they're sold out all over the place. I don't know what else you can say. And, I mean, we got some more Challenger games coming up this week, or starting next week, actually.
Yeah, so the Bananas are really holding their own. They're selling it out. It's people across the United States are loving it. They enjoy the dancing, the music, the skits that go on between the innings, or sometimes you might get a little dance during the inning. How about the guy on stilts? I mean, that is crazy.
He's still lighting it up. He's going out there. The fact that he can pitch off a mound wearing the stilts, it became a gimmick, a novelty. But the bottom line is you actually have to go out and throw a baseball on stilts.
Yeah.
And I've seen it several times live at Grayson Stadium. It baffles me. Bottom line, it's fun. But the biggest thing, the most telling thing you said was that the party animals are not the Washington Generals. These are two sides that want to win.
Yep. All right. So they'll be hold it. Where'd my schedule go for the Bananas? Okay.
Oh, we got Thursday and Saturday at Grayson, taking on the party animals.
Okay. And then where do they go the following week? Don't they go Las
Vegas?
Yeah,
I was about to say that. Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, it's their first trip to Vegas. They get a challenge game coming up next Monday. That is going to be wild. And they got a really nice AAA stadium out there for the time being.
Stadium.
Well, no, I said minor league. That's pro. No, right. They will have a major league stadium soon. But bottom line, they'll be playing, I believe, the Aces out there. I think they're the Las Vegas Aces will be playing in that stadium. That place is going to be jumping. And that'll be on the 15th.
May 19th and May 20th. I just pulled it up.
May 19th. You're right. You are right. I had the 15th here. You are correct. Don't we have a Challenger game coming up next Monday? I do believe so.
We got Thursday and Friday. We're home Thursday and Saturday against the party animals.
Yes,
May 15th, they're playing the Florence Yalls in a challenge game.
Atlantic League Bowl. Yeah, same as the same league as the Charleston Dirty Birds. That's right. I can't even read my own writing.
They're bringing it to Savannah. Okay, and then there's one here that, I mean, you could probably tell me. The party animals are taking out Savannah Bananas in Oklahoma City in the Chickasaw Bricktown Ballpark. Have you heard of that ballpark?
Okay. I can't say that I have off the top of my head. I want to say that's where the OKC Dodgers play. Don't quote me on that.
Okay. All right. So that's the Bananas. That's inning number 3 in the book. We got to keep this to a 45-minute time. You know, we're just like the Bananas in Major League Baseball. We don't want to keep this too long. So inning number 4, you're watching the – Who's on first base? Major League Baseball, take 2. This is live, so I'm not going to be able to correct it. So you will watch.
We know what it is, but do it again.
The Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl Tomasi and Kyle Lawson. It's all brought to you by the Coach's Corner Sports Network. All right, first one of the year, buddy. All right, I'll be the visitor. I'll let you get the upper hand on me. So this is what we do when we do trivia. We used to do 5 questions. It used to take an hour.
Oh, gosh. We couldn't do it.
We cut it down to 2. And if there's a tiebreaker, we'll go to a 3rd inning. So we'll try and keep it short and sweet. So usually we alternate. So if I'm going to be a visitor this week, he'll be visitor next week. So Go ahead there, buddy. Throw out your first question.
Okay, here's what I got here. The Braves are tied for their best start in 35 years at 24 and 11. Okay, they've done this three other times. I'm going to give you – all I need is two out of the 3 years. Can you give me two of the three seasons where they've had as good of a start as they've had this season?
Two out of the three.
Two out of the three.
Let's go 84.
Nope.
84, 96, and 2008.
Nope. Now you missed it. Believe it or not, the first year they won the NL West, of all things, back when there was the alignment, 1969. Believe it or not, their best starts were also in 97 and 98, where, of course, they were taken out by the expansion Marlins, and the other time by the Yankees in the World Series. You would have thought that 95 team, but, of course, that was a shortened season.
I was close.
You were pretty darn close. I figured you would give me something in the 90s, but, yeah. Okay, they had a good team in 82 that won the West, but, yeah, that didn't really lead to anything. So, unfortunately, nah, got to say no, Coach.
I know. I had 96. I agree with you. It wasn't, you know, it's only close to hand grenades and horseshoes. That's not politically correct. Okay. All right. My first one to you. Let me.
What's wrong with horseshoes?
Yeah. Okay. So let's go to opening day.
Okay.
Who's the only pitcher to throw a no-hitter on opening day?
Bob Feller.
Okay. You got it. 1940 with the Cleveland Indians. 1-0 over your favorite other team, the Chicago White Sox. Oh, sorry.
Wah, wah.
All right.
You mean so least favorite?
You're up 1-0. If I don't get this, the ball game's over. We'll play like the Bananas. It's a walk-off win for you if I don't get this one.
Okay. The Pittsburgh Pirates were off to a fantastic start up until last week. Name me the last time a Pittsburgh team won over 100 games in a season. This shocked me. A lot of great teams.
I'm going to go We Are Family in 1979.
You were 70 years too late. It was Honus Wagner, and it was 1909. Victory!
The first W flies in downtown Savannah. The white with the blue W. So Fanatic starts off on a ball of fire. So I just want to ask you this one. I'm not going to save this question, but this is what I would have asked you, okay? Walter Johnson had the most opening day starts until this pitcher knocked him off that number one spot. Can you name that pitcher?
Tom Seaver.
Yeah, you stink.
You stink on ice. I had a feeling. Yeah, I had to think. Come on. How many opening day starts did he have for the Mets? Yeah,
I don't know.
Crazy.
He had 16 opening day starts, Tom Seaver. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, I know. You already got the W. Let's just throw it out there for you. But I'm not going to give you a bonus question. I'm going to save that for later on. So, but anyway.
Okay. Hey, save it.
All right. 2 minutes. We got to get out of here. Great job. Always a lot of fun. Hold on. Let me see if I could pull up what's going on in the Sound Garden.
Oh, yeah. We got to have some tunes here. It's springtime.
I don't think there's anything this weekend due to the fact that, you know, it's Mama's Day. So
that is correct.
A lot of people are going to be out with the mamas. So I know I got it right here. So I know they come back with a couple of good ones at the end of the month. Okay, come on, Liz. Come on up. Come on. Okay, here we go. All right. So, take that back. Friday night they do have, May 12th, they have La Rue at 7 o'clock. I don't know what La Rue plays, but Friday they do have a band in the Sound Garden. Come back Saturday, May 20th, we got the Yacht Club. Okay.
Ooh, little Yacht Rock action. There you go.
And then – you got May 27, the Sapphire Bullets of Pure Love.
Ooh.
So it's a good lineup. You want to go see a show in the Sound Garden? Just go to eventbrite.com and get those tickets and go watch some fun. Watch some great music and have a lot of fun. So while the first one's in the book there, Baseball Fanatic, glad you could join us. And like we say every time we've done the show, especially last year, please say a prayer for all the people in all those people there in Ukraine that are, it's just a crazy place, crazy world right now. And of course, what's going on in this country with everybody with all the stuff that's going on with guns and everything else, buddy. But that's why we do the show. Hopefully we can take your mind off it for about 40, 45 minutes.
Yep. Just distract you a little bit, talk some ball, have a lot of fun. And bottom line, Coach, it's great to see you. Glad we're back at it. And I can't wait to see you next week.
All right. Quick plug. Where are you going with the Clovers this week?
Okay, the Clovers, currently we are going out west to Albion, San Diego. After tying the league-leading Chattanooga FC 1-1, the Clovers are currently 1-2-2 in this young season right now. If you got a chance, come out later in the month. I'll have the schedule for you next week. We played some home games in Memorial Stadium. Tickets are $15, $5 for kids and students. It's a lot of fun. Come on out. I'll be doing the play-by-play, and I hope to see you.
Oh, I've listened to a couple of you. Doing a good job.
That's right. You can stream us all on 11sports.com if you can't make it out. It's been rainy lately, so I don't blame you if you want to stay home and stream it. But it's a lot of fun, pro soccer here in Savannah, and it's doing great things for the community.
And you get to stay inside the press box.
You better believe it. Air conditioned.
All right, Kyle, have a good week, and we'll do this next week. So once again, you've been watching Who's on First Base Baseball Podcast with the coach, Carl DeMasi, and of course, the baseball fanatic right here, Kyle Lawson, because it's all music, all sports, all fun, all food since
1991
on the Coach's Corner Sports Network. Thanks for watching. Peace out.
See you later.